probably won't last long. But if they do any damage at all, they might take some high-level undead down with them.
Hisako nodded. Very well. As I said, I am hoping that the portal opens at the top of the mausoleum, but we are changing the spell slightly by forcing it open for an extended period. No matter where it appears, you must use part of your forces to protect it at all costs. If you lose that position, even if you destroy the lich, you may not be able to return.
Richter nodded. She had made that point abundantly clear before. That was why there were 4 10-ton blocks of marbled quartz in front of the barbican, and 40 mist workers to move them. There were also a collection of small boulders and 10 more mist workers to carry those. If they were going to appear at the top of the mausoleum, there was no reason he shouldn't make gravity work for him and send the enemies below a few presents. The Chaos Seed had described the metal structure of the mausoleum to Zar and asked if the dwarf could make some sort of wall to keep the undead army back, if only for a little while. The geomancer said he could affect the shape of metal, but that it was much harder to use that medium than stone. In this particular case, it might also be impossible, as the metal in question was part of a core building. They had come up with another option. The dwarf said he could slightly alter the shapes of even large blocks of stone a small amount without too much difficulty. He could soften the bottoms of the marbled quartz blocks so that they could conform to the shape of the steps. He could even make a magic mortar that would bind them there for a short time. From the image in Nian's memory, they had guesstimated that the central stairway was about 20 feet across. Each of the white stones was 5 feet by 4 by 3. If Zar could get them in place, then the Allied forces could establish a combat fort to defend the portal. It would only offer protection from the undead climbing up the stairway, but seeing as how the several thousand-strong undead army would be somewhere below them, it was definitely worth doing. The only problem was that none of them knew if the mausoleum would inhibit Zar's earth magic. Both earth and water bordered life magic in the basic element mandala, and so either could be inhibited by the core building's powers. If that turned out to be the case, the mage would be almost helpless and had no place in this battle. They just had to hope that was not the case, because if Zar couldn't help, then it might come down to hand-to-hand combat against thousands of undead. Only time would tell.
Are you ready, Zar? Richter asked simply.
The dwarf looked back silently, the weight of his responsibility clear in his eyes. Richter could see the hesitation and doubt, but then Zar received what all heroes need. Someone they can't afford to disappoint.
Of course he is,
Quasia answered for him, placing her hand in his. Zar looked back at her with an expression that left no doubt about the burgeoning romance between the two of them.
Of course I am,
Zar echoed, meeting Richter's gaze, his voice sure and strong. Hisako nodded and continued.
The rest of our forces will remain behind and will only enter the portal if needed. The most important thing is speed. You must hurry. In addition to the portal's instability, remember that I will be draining mana from my people to fuel the spell. The longer you take, the more I must drain them. If I drain too much, the mana deficit will not only prevent them from imbuing their arrows, but it will also make it hard for them to think.
Richter knew exactly what she was talking about. Bottoming out your mana was like a tequila hangover. It was a bad experience. Hisako met the eyes of everyone gathered to make sure they understood her. Once she was satisfied, she reached into her robes and withdrew a small plant. It was a green sprig with 2 leaves sprouting from it. Both were round and slightly concave. Richter's herb lore skill triggered.
You have found twin leaf of Zanlu tree. Durability 7 of 7. Herb class scarce. Herb quality, succulent. Weight, 0.03 kilograms. Uses. Novice. Can aid against sonic attacks. Initiate. Component of an itch salve. Apprentice. When separated and ingested, allows for psychic long-distance communication.
You have got to give me one of these trees when we're done, Richter told her. She had just given the Strike Force comms. A faint smile creased her serious face.
That can be arranged.
Just how much distance are we talking here?
Richter asked, looking at the leaves.
That is dependent on the herb lore skill of those involved. My own is master rank, and so herbs are 312% more effective. You are an apprentice, correct?
Richter nodded. It was his second most advanced skill at level 40.
Then, factoring in the succulent quality of the leaves, it will allow us to communicate across several miles for several hours. More than enough in both distance and time to use during the battle, but only as long as the portal is open. Once it closes...
My black butt better be back,
Richter interrupted with a smirk. Even on the eve of battle, alliteration was fun.
Quite, she told him with a faint smile.
She explained that Richter just had to think of the person he wanted to address and the herb would carry his thoughts. She only had two more of the scarce herb, which she used to make a bond between herself and Yoshi and between Yoshi and Richter. Testing them out, they worked perfectly, though the mental communication had a distinctly different flavor than what he could do with his psi bond.
Well then, Richter pronounced, the time has come.
A few minutes later, Richter had handed out the potions to the initial strike force. Unfortunately, there were only enough health potions for most of the fighters to receive one each. He also gave a special bottle to Sion with very specific instructions. The sprite had looked at him like he was crazy, but had agreed and accepted the item. While that was happening, Yoshi formed a war band. The half-sprite's journeyman rank in war leader made him a battle leader, allowing him to lead hundreds of fighters. This time, though, the attack squad was only 20 strong. It included Yoshi, his second-in-command Damien, Richter, Calder, Sion, Kenjiro, the Mist Village Warriors, the rogue Hanzo, and two of the village's mages, Quazia and Zar. The rest of the party were made up of sprite professionals that had undergone the Udo Rengai, the Hearth Tree's equivalent of Special Forces training. Tirad's jaw was tight, watching the war party form and being excluded from it, but the man would do his duty. All conversation ceased as a grumbling and almost tearful Bayan walked through the barbican with his undead pet in tow. Sumiko handed over the finger bone of Eldritch magic. Bayan looked at her in anger, blaming her for the loss of his Decamer knight. What he saw in her face disarmed him, though. For once there was no derision when she looked at the necromancer. Seeing the pain the deaf mage was in, she felt nothing but sympathy. Richter hadn't really considered that Bayan might be emotionally attached to the Decamer knight, but seeing the gnome now, he realized he should have. The knight had been Bayan's loyal companion through many battles. Richter had emotionally bonded with the Shale Adder and still missed it. Why couldn't a necromancer bond with an undead? As upset as Bayan was, he didn't hesitate to do what he had agreed to, for the good of the village and for his liege. He gave the bone to the knight and had it walk forward until it was almost obscured by a column. Then he gave it a final order. It looked at the glowing green bone in its hand. For a moment, nothing happened. Then it was silently enveloped in green flames, and the dungeon filled with the sounds of torment. A wailing like the keening of tortured souls filled the air, seeming to come from the skeleton's gaping mouth. It stood there, burning and screaming, as a ragged line of neon green energy appeared in front of the knight. Every member of the Allied forces cringed, and several of the beasts wet themselves in fear. The only person completely undaunted was the Hearth Mother. She looked down from her place atop the battlements and raised both hands. Her expression was implacable, allowing for neither doubt nor failure. Though she stood only 4 feet tall, her presence towered over them all. The air was thrumming with energy, a feeling that spiked as twin beams of golden life energy shot from her fingers towards the rent in space. It writhed like a living thing seeking escape, but soon began to stabilize. The neon green color of the rift began to soften, and gold tinges could be seen here and there. Through it all, the Decamer knight had stood in place, its bones blackening in the eldritch flame. Then, all of a sudden, the bones of the Decamer knight exploded outward, small shards flying in every direction. The undead had been utterly destroyed. From its unnatural life essence, the portal to the mausoleum was born. In the first second, it was as tall as a man. In the next,
It was as high as the battlements. A moment later, it shrunk to 4 feet in height. All that could be seen inside of it was a chaotic sea of green energy that was occasionally tinged with gold. The portal kept fluctuating, but as Hisako poured more magic into the gateway, the neon green of the eldritch magic was slowly replaced with the warm gold of life. The doorway began to stabilize, and a faint but fetid stink poured through into the cavern. The scent of death filled everyone's mouths and nostrils. Sumiko raised her arms as well, and two more beams of life energy struck the gate, anchoring the magic on their plane. Richter's attention was laser-focused on the portal, but he still couldn't ignore it when Futin suddenly flared with light and a prompt appeared in his vision. Your actions have led to an update to the quest Unlock Your Power 3. By opening a portal to challenge the Eldritch Lich Sing, you have contested one of the greatest threats in your domain. The ripples of this action will spread through the River Peninsula and perhaps the world, but one thing cannot be denied. If you are successful, it will change the balance of power in this region and will awaken one, perhaps both, of your remaining powers. You are committed. This quest cannot be refused. Success conditions? Defeat the Lich. Optional success conditions. Deliver the final death to the Lich. Destroy the source of his power. Reward. Unlock one or two of your powers. Penalty for failure or refusal of quest cannot be refused. Fare thee well, Master of the Mist Village. Really? Richter thought to himself. Now? That was what Richter wanted to ask Futin, but there was no more time for questions. Hisako spoke into his mind via the power of the twin leaf.
Be ready. The portal will stabilize any second.
He dismissed the quest prompt, not even having time to think about the repercussions of killing the Lich, of what it would mean for his people, of the new dangers and monsters it would bring. What he had to focus on now was the danger the Lich posed. That was all he had time for. I'm ready, he responded to Hisako, his mental voice strong and unyielding. They weren't idle words. No matter what the portal would ultimately show, he would meet it head on. The gateway was barely fluctuating now and seemed to be stabilizing at about 15 feet in height. Richter prepared to rush through with his bow in hand, but then a thought occurred to him. A question that he might never be able to ask again. Hisako, he mentally projected, I have to know something. Her response was tight with strain, but also softened by love and respect. She knew he might never come back through the portal, and if he needed to share final words, then she would listen.
What is it, my ally?
Richter paused for just a moment before asking, That curse you cast on me the night before the party, when you made all the soul stones, that wasn't real, right?
Now! You want to discuss this now?
Her voice was a whistling shout in his mind. Only the universe knew that she was aping his own sentiments of just moments before. I need to know if you did something to me as a joke, but forgot to reverse it. I'm going into battle. She sent the psychic equivalent of an irritated grumble, but still answered.
It was only a jest. The magic was real, but all it did was negate the effects of any herbs you would have taken for the next 12 hours.
Richter sighed in relief. He had been pretty sure she'd been joking, but Sprites had a real weird sense of humor. He focused back on the portal, which, with a flash of light, stabilized and locked into position. Through the gateway, he could see a view of gray metal steps, so dark they were almost black. Nothing else could be seen. He realized the portal must not be upright, but was at an angle. It was the kind of irritating real-life detail that they just never accounted for on Stargate. Still, the gateway was ready, and there was a battle to be fought. With a shouted, For the Mist! He ordered the Mauler through the portal and jumped through himself. As he cleared the portal, Hisako's last words echoed again in his mind, and for the first time, true fear gripped his heart.
Oh, shit! The Star Xenia!
Chapter 99, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0, AOC. When Richter landed on the steps, the Mauler was already roaring, and he had no more time to worry about contraception. The labyrinth monster had already been struck with two arrows. While that would have been completely ignored by Richter's pet, eldritch energy was worming out from each wound. The arrows were obviously enchanted and were causing more damage every second. Alma launched herself into the air. Her wings flapped quickly, and soon her black armor made her impossible to spot against the ceiling high above. As she flew, she fed everything she saw to Richter, giving him another perspective as he quickly took stock. Above and behind the mausoleum, he could see the cruel-faced statue of what Hisako had thought was an exile, a member of either the light or dark court, towering above them all. Neon green magic was being siphoned off each of the four arms and was accumulating in a massive ball of snapping energy in front of it. That was all less important than the fact that he quickly saw that the portal had not opened near the roof of the mausoleum. The portal had led out on the gray metal steps between the 7th and 8th floor, 3 levels from the top. To be specific, the gateway had appeared almost at a 45-degree angle to the stairs and was 3 feet above them. The drop was easily handled, but the fact that they now had to fight through 3 levels of undead was a problem. In addition to coming to terms with their position, he also let a series of prompts wash over him, internalizing the information in a moment. Know this, you have entered the influence of the Mausoleum of Saganald. -100% spell strength to life magic. -50% spell strength to earth and water magic. -25% spell strength to light magic. +100% spell strength to death magic. +50% spell strength to fire and air magic. +25% spell strength to dark magic. Richter gritted his teeth, thinking about how Zar was going to have a hard time making the bulwark with a 50% spell penalty. It would be possible, but exceedingly difficult. Difficult or not, now was not the time for worry. It was a time for action. Attack! He shouted into the Mauler's mind bare seconds after they had crossed through the gateway. His command sent the labyrinth boss barreling up the stairs. The giant monster bellowed as it raced up the stairs to do battle. Hulking zombies the size of gorillas raced down to meet it, while archers from the level above continued to fire arrows. Richter drew a poisoned arrow of his own while the rest of the strike team poured through the portal. Sighting on a level 28 professed mage, he released a faint golden aura surrounding the arrow. It streaked up the stairs, crossing the space in a blink, but the skeletal mage was already prepared. A previously invisible fourth-tier spell shield of death energy sprang into visibility the moment the arrow tip came in contact with the barrier. The spell had over 600 HPs and a defense of plus 15. All of that was doubled by the mausoleum's influence. The defensive magic effectively gave the mage the equivalent of a concrete reinforced bunker. Any attack with a damage value less than 15 wouldn't even deplete the spell's health. It would protect the undead mage from attacks and allow the wretched creature to destroy whatever was attacking it at its leisure. That was why Richter got to enjoy seeing its mouth drop open in shock as his arrow passed through its spell barrier unimpeded, right before it blew up in the mage's unarmored face. The last several days, Richter hadn't just spent his time enchanting. He had spent it experimenting. At the time, he'd wondered if it was a function of his increased creativity, because ideas had started exploding in his mind. Whatever the cause, when this particular notion had occurred to him, he knew he'd stumbled onto something special. One of the few things he already knew about magic shields was that they were not effective against magics of the same type. A fire shield could not stop a fireball spell, for instance. He'd run that concept by Hisako, who told him that there were shield variations this did not hold true for, but that many magic shields did follow that axiom. Knowing that, he wondered what would happen if he shot a magic shield with an arrow enchanted with the same type of magic. Awesomely and surprisingly, it had worked. Hisako had helped him test the theory by casting a stationary life shield over a rock. While an unenchanted arrow was deflected, an arrow enchanted with life attack passed right through. Even an imbued arrow would pass right through the shield, as long as the arrow was enspelled with life magic. According to Hisako, this was because the force magic of the imbue arrow skill didn't adhere to any particular spell school. That was when he'd started wondering what would happen if there were two enchantments on the arrow. He expected to be fighting Death Magi, as the mausoleum was an undead stronghold. It was all well and good to have an arrow enspelled with death magic pass through a magic shield, but the enchantment might actually make an undead stronger, with the damage the arrow itself caused wholly negated. He needed to add a little extra oomph to the attack. The first experiment with an arrow dual enchanted with life attack and dark attack had been a total failure. The arrow failed to pass through. The second experiment had literally exploded as soon as the arrow had been enchanted. The high steel arrow simply couldn't take the opposing energies of life attack and death attack. After apologizing to the smiths that had been glaring at him, he'd moved on to a third possibility, using an arrow with life attack and sonic damage. It was unfortunately another failure. The arrows simply wouldn't penetrate Hisako's life shield. Richter had been more than frustrated, but that was when Hisako had reminded him of the mandala. Her shield was comprised of life magic. The two basic elements most closely associated with life were earth and water. He'd pointed out that he had already tried to use sonic damage, which was an earth enchantment, but Hisako had already anticipated that objection. She'd proposed that for the arrows to pass through a life shield, then the enchantment had to be identified as life as well. Richter's previous experiment had tried enspelling the arrow with an expensive level 2 earth magic while only using a level 1 life magic as the other half of the enchantment. Happily and maddeningly, the Hearthmother had been right, as always. Richter found that as long as the enchantment points he invested into life attack were greater than or equal to the points he invested into an earth or water enchantment, the arrow would still pass right through the shield. He'd even found he could use spell types that were 2 removed from life and still penetrate the spell shield, as long as the ratio was then 75% life and 25% light or dark. Fire and air magic did not work in any combination to get through a life shield, but that was not what he needed to attack the undead. Both of those magics did border death on the mandala, and they were exactly what he needed to pierce a necromancer's shield. That was why he'd spent some precious TPs to buy the enchantment Fire Attack, and that was why the skeleton caster was having a bad fucking day. He drew another arrow and checked the results of his first attack. Begin combat log. Richter strikes Skeletal Necromancer's 4th tier Death Shield with Enchanted Imbued Moonstone Arrow. Death Fire Moonstone Arrow bypasses Skeletal Necromancer's Enhanced Static Shield. Richter strikes a Skeletal Necromancer for 272 points of Very Damage with a Death Fire Moonstone Arrow. 6-foot radius AoE Force Damage, 26. Skeletal Necromancer has been poisoned with Sun Lotus Poison. It will take 53 points of life damage per second for the next 15 seconds. Skeletal Necromancer resists Mind Fog. Skeletal Necromancer resists Stun. Skeletal Necromancer resists Psi Crystallization. End combat log. All of the information washed over Richter in an instant, thanks to Randolphus's status window technique. The mage fell back, its jaw knocked clean off, and the life poison coursing through its undead body. The Chaos Seed used Analyze again, and saw that in the opening salvo of the battle, he had removed more than 80% of its life, and that the poison would finish the job in seconds. Richter's face was fixed in a rictus of battle lust. That's right, motherfuckers! Feel the power of essence enchanting! In the 2 seconds it had taken him to both attack and register the damage, the other 20 members of the squad had traveled through the portal, and the battle was joined. Wisteria went down with an arrow in her shoulder, screaming as the foul poison on the arrowhead began to course through her body. 2 of the hearth tree sprites dropped as well, one with an arrow in his eye, and another from a bolt of death magic that knocked him unconscious. Yoshi didn't deviate from the plan. Instead, the half-sprite shouted, "Furesutu no!" and sprinted up the stairs, the warband racing after him. Richter held to his own part of the plan. Dropping his bow for a moment, he drew vials of flammable life oil from his bag, even as he examined the forces arrayed against them. The mausoleum had 10 floors before the top level, each smaller than the one below it. As he had expected, the number of defenders decreased with each tier, but the levels of the monsters increased. The undead on the 7th floor had noticed the invasion, and the melee fighters were beginning to rush up the stairs even as the archers raced into position so they could fire on Richter. Using Analyze, he saw that the monsters on the 7th floor looked to have levels between 22 and 27, while those above him were levels 26 through 30. He relayed all of this to Hisako as he continued to smash enough oil vials to coat the width of the stairs several yards down from the portal. The undead on the 6th level had already made it halfway up the stairs. He ran back up, trailing the last bit of oil from the vial in his hand. Richter waited one more second, letting the undead get fully within the AoE of the oil. Then, with a malevolent look in his eyes, spat a word of power.
Igni!
Orange flame shot from his fingertips into the oil at his feet as he cast Weak Flame. The clear liquid caught fire and raced down the steps in a line before igniting the large swath of oil he'd placed on the stairs. A conflagration 20 yards long and 5 yards wide sprung into existence and caught 10 undead in the flames. Armored ghasts, zombie knights, and skeletal warriors were all caught in his trap and began to burn. Richter unsheathed black ice and his elementum shortsword, preparing to meet the charge. A skeleton holding a black steel mace made it through the flames but still burned as it ran at the chaos seed. Despite the fact that blades were not ideal weapons to fight monsters of this type, his powerful instruments more than compensated. Spinning low, Richter ducked under the undead warrior's attack and brought his green elementum blade against the skeleton's right leg. An instant later, he sliced black ice into the left. Both weapons cut clean through the life-weakened bones of the skeleton, dropping it to the ground. With a savage kick, Richter shot his skeeling boot into its torso and sent it tumbling down the steps into the flames. A horrible moan to his right heralded a 6-foot-tall zombie beastkin moving as fast, if not faster, than it could have in life. With talons extended, it lunged at him, swinging its arm in a vicious swipe. He raised his elementum blade just in time and braced himself. The fey metal bit into the zombie's left arm, and the force of the blow knocked Richter back a step. Yanking down and twisting, the hand came free and the zombie howled, either in anger, pain, or both. Its other hand reached forward to grab Richter's armor, but it moaned anew when it came in contact with the life-enchanted metal. It drew back, its hand smoking, and Richter grinned broadly. Swinging like he was letting the big dog eat from the blue tees, black ice swept up into the zombie's crotch, splitting it from tooter to rooter. The two burning halves fell to either side, and Richter engaged the next undead that had made it through the flames. As he desperately parried an axe blow, Richter called to Hisako to send the dungeon beasts and Zar. Even though there were only 15 undead on the level below them and 12 above, there were thousands of green-eyed dead in the Lich's army. They had started surging across the land bridge that connected the mausoleum to the plain where the army had waited. Every defender from the lower levels was rushing up the stairs as well. Even the life oil flames were not stopping all of them, the dumber undead rushing straight through them. They had to do this quickly.
"The portal is stable enough to send the beasts," Hisako thought to him, "but the strain of holding it open is worse than I thought. Even drawing on the mana of my people, I will not be able to hold it open long. You must hurry."
"What does she think I'm doing?" Richter asked, diving to the side to miss an arrow shot from above. Thanking Alma for warning him from Overwatch, he savagely hacked at a ghast holding a mace and buckler. Purple-black energy danced over the undead's weapon, and Richter's identify talent showed that the weapon was inspelled with a disease enchantment. He didn't let the weapon touch him. Instead, he flowed from one form to the next, making sure to keep the ghast's body between him and the enemy archers farther down the stairs. The undead might have been a professed warrior, but even it could not ignore the damage the life oil flames had wrought. More than half of its life was already gone before Richter even swung his first blade at it. With wild bloodlust, Richter delivered a flurry of blows that the Ghast was able to block, but that was not the purpose of the Chaos Seed's attack. Each contact was a chance. Each strike he landed was a chance that one of his blade's effects would trigger. He swung black ice in a perfectly executed drunken barber. His powerful, named weapon cut straight through the neck of the Ghast, and a spout of gravy-colored ichor shot into the air. The demon's soul in the weapon hungrily lapped up the life energy and was ready for more. That was the last melee fighter from level 7, leaving archers and magi firing up at Richter with impunity. Thankfully, he was not alone. A horde of dungeon beasts poured through the portal. Richter sent all but 10 Genet Prowlers and the 2 Chupacabras bounding up the stairs. Those remaining rushed down the stairs, the agile animals leaping over the now dying flames. They raced each other to attack the undead firing upon them. The Prowlers bounded, eating steps with each pounce. 3 went down, 2 to arrows, and a 3rd to a spike of death magic that began to rot it from the inside out. The rest fell upon the ranged undead, their claws coated with sun lotus poison. The chupacabras fired their quills at the same time. The powerful shots pinged off of a skeleton mage's shield, but each strike drained and gave Richter time to equip his own bow again. He knocked and fired an arrow down the stairs. In mid-flight, the arrow blurred, and an instant later, 4 copies flew alongside the original. A Ghast warrior had made it up from the 6th level. The professional was able to block 2 of the arrows on his kite shield, but the other 3 impacted. The secondary effect of the sonic damage enchantment triggered, and the undead was disarmed even as the other 3 arrows struck his body with concussive booms. The warrior tumbled back down the stairs. As Richter tried to keep the hordes at bay, above a horrible battle of attrition raged. The Mauler had long since reached the 8th level and was laying waste to the skeletal monsters. Numerous arrows stuck out of its body, spreading disease, necrotic death magic, and poisons fast enough that even its regenerative ability couldn't keep up. It didn't stop Richter's pet. The Labyrinth boss had extensive resistances to magic, poison, and disease, and had thousands of health to spare. Alma watched as the Mauler's talons pierced the body of what looked like a revenant. Its claws shot through the undead's body and exploded out of its back before lifting it into the air. The monster screeched defiance at Richter's giants, but that ended when the Mauler swung it against the side of the mausoleum and turned its head into decayed slush. A zombie rogue jumped onto the Mauler's back, performing a talent attack, spine sever, but its weapon was too weak to pierce the level 92 boss's mana-hardened vertebrae. The attack did remove another 200 health, however, and the giant screamed in rage and pain. Before it could respond, a sprite arrow shining blue with imbued magic struck the rogue broadside. The skeleton flew through the air, and life poison began to spread along the magic pathways that gave its bones false life. Just taking the 8th level had already cost the Mauler 2,000 health, and now the more powerful undead of the 9th level began to attack. Its sacrifice was not in vain. Every arrow and bolt of death magic that struck it saved the life of a strike team member. They had still taken casualties, but in the first minutes of the attack, the 8th level was almost claimed. The sprites and dungeon beasts matching the undead in ferocity and perhaps outstripping them in hatred. The grisly battle between the living and dead continued. Through the portal came Calder, Zar, Quasia, and 40 mistworkers carrying 4 blocks of marbled quartz. Another 10 mistworkers came through behind them holding small boulders. As Richter had feared, as soon as the constructs passed through the gateway, mist began to flow out of their bodies. Away from his domain, they were cut off from the magic that kept them intact. He had no idea when they would finally fall apart, but once again, he was being reminded that very little time remained.
"Stop there!"
Zar barked, halting the mistworkers, and he cast the spell Contouring Stone on 2 of the blocks. The 3rd-tier spell had a 12-second cast time that left him vulnerable, but even as arrows continued to fly from below, Zar stayed dedicated to his task. He was able to do so because he had the same strength as every member of the Mist Village. He was not alone. Calder stood in front of him with his war door pointed down the stairs. Quasia stood nearby, her fierce heart avowing that no harm would come to either her liege or her man. The Jennet Prowlers had slain the remaining archers of the seventh level, and the Chupacabras had overcome the shields of the undead magi, riddling their robed bodies with 4-foot-long spikes until the unnatural creatures lay still. The Prowlers had been ripped apart in the process, but the life poison on their claws had done its work. They had bought the Allied forces time, but only some. The undead from the sixth floor had arrived on the seventh, and the fifth floor guardians were right behind. More arrows were flying up again. The undead were of a lower level, but there were more of them. The death mages of those floors began casting as well, and the melee fighters rushed upward, screaming and howling to spill living blood. The flames had died, lasting only 30 seconds, the inhibiting magic of the mausoleum more than halving the potion's lifespans, if not their damage. Richter and the Chupacabras continued firing down the stairs, but for every undead that fell, another came behind it, and the creatures had no fear of pain or death. The leading edges of the Lich's army had made it to the first floor. Quasia began a casting. The Noctomancer's spell was one that Richter knew himself, but at a much higher tier. When the Chaos Seed cast his first tier spell, Weak Cloying Darkness, a 10-foot cone of thick blackness shot from his hand. When the shapely gnome enchantress cast her fourth tier spell, Enhanced Cloying Darkness, a literal deluge of night poured down the stairs, decreasing the movement and attack speed of every creature by 60%. It spilled down the steps, blanketing the seventh level and some of the stairs leading down to the sixth. The effect of her spell surprised even the sorceress, as she was seeing the buff effect the mausoleum had on her dark magic for the first time. All the while, Richter shot enchanted arrows at the creatures approaching from above. Quasia's spell had slowed the monsters that were on the stairs, but more continued to flood upward. Seeing the sea of undead, he dropped his bow and rushed forward. The Chupacabras continued to fire, and Quasia screamed at him to come back, but he ignored it all. More vials of life oil broke on the steps, and the potion coated the gray metal. He managed to smash 5 against the steps before an arrow broke against the dead center of his chest plate. Richter was knocked to the ground, and the back of his helmet struck the steps hard. The helm protected him from a concussion, but his bell was still rung for a second as the combat info washed over him. Begin combat log. Skeletal Archer strikes Richter with Necromium Arrow for 0 points of piercing damage. End combat log. Richter blinked and made his way to his feet, thanking his lucky stars for his new chest piece. Just because his armor didn't let the arrow penetrate didn't mean it negated the physics of the attack. The force of the shattering arrow still transmitted through the breastplate and left him sore, but moments later he was back in the fight. The Chaos Seed smashed a few more vials and then ran back up the stairs. Stooping low and turning, his fingers glowed red. His mana dropped by 79 points, and a golf ball-sized ball of orange flame shot from his hand. 1 foot later, it was the size of a grapefruit, and 3 feet later, the size of a basketball. It impacted the ground and exploded, sending flames 10 meters in every direction. The damage from weak fireball was only 20 to 25, but it also ignited the pools of oil Richter had left all over the stairs. Any undead caught in those began to burn. That didn't stop the army of undead. They reached the life flames and ran right through them. Many gained a burning status as they walked through the 4-foot-high flames, but they just didn't stop. Richter picked his bow back up with a curse and kept firing. Multi-shot arrows with sonic damage wrought horrible earth damage and sometimes disarmed or even shattered the armor of the undead, sending shrapnel flying back through their bodies. Freeze arrows with ignored defense penetrated the armor of the dead, turning one into a block of blue ice that fell and shattered. Moments later, the pieces were crushed under the boots of the other undead racing up the stairs. Dual enchanted arrows inspelled with death and fire magic punctured the shields of necromancers that tried to climb the stairs. Richter had never been so perfect. never more focused on the task of delivering death to the undying. Yet still they didn't stop, and Richter felt like he was running out of time. He knew he was running out of arrows.
Work, damn you! Zar cursed.
He was having the mistworkers push the blocks of stone down into the gray metal steps, but they were contouring to the stair much slower than he had expected. He stood up to push on the tops of stone himself, but an arrow whizzing by his head made him duck back down under cover.
How much more time, man? These fuckers are still coming!
Richter shouted.
More!
Zar spat back. The mistworkers continued to push, but enemy arrows found them as well. The defenseless constructs normally had a 50% reduction from physical damage, but they were away from their home, and one arrow was enough to finish them. First one disappeared in a puff of gray mist, then another, then two at once thanks to a blast of death magic. The others did not notice and continued on with the task at hand. Richter ducked behind a stone as well and reassessed the battle through Alma's eyes. Yoshi's strike team had cleared the eighth floor and had moved on to the ninth. Half of the dungeon beasts had been slain, but they were still savaging the level 29 to 37 undead defenders. The poison on their claws and tusks meant that even one successful attack would decrease an undead's HP by hundreds of points. The mauler was battling against two undead that were both over 9 feet tall. They worked in tandem, clearly intelligent and well-trained. Both looked like disembodied shadow creatures housed in suits of plate armor. The only detail Alma could see was a pair of glowing red eyes. A moment later, he saw they were also professionals. Even as Richter watched, one used a talent that let him double the length of his blade and cut deep into the mauler's thigh. The labyrinth monster's counterattack was to rake its deadly talons down the knight's body, opening him and his armor like a can opener. A black shadow fled the destroyed armor with a shriek, but the other warrior didn't waste the opportunity. It swung its battle axe down in a powerful chop and severed one of the three fingers on the mauler's left hand. The boss howled in true pain and swung its other arm, catching the undead in the side and flinging him down the side of the mausoleum. Near his own position, lower down on the pyramid, Alma could see the monsters pressing through Quasia's spell, getting ever closer to her master.
"Should we bond?"
she asked him, desperation in her voice.
"No!"
he sent back. He'd emptied his quiver and had needed to remove another bundle of enchanted arrows from his bag of holding. He shoved them into the quiver, loosed the tie, and kept firing. The process took 5 seconds. It felt like it took a lifetime as he saw the leading edge of the Lich's army had almost reached the second level. Richter thanked whatever god might be listening that there were 30 to 40 feet of stairs between each level. Even seeing the undead this close was enough for his heart to hammer in fear.
"I need you on overwatch and support. We only have 7 minutes once we bond. Help Yoshi!"
He fired a multi-arrow of freezing at a skeletal archer. The arrow split into 4 copies, each doing water damage and injecting poison into it before ducking back down behind a stone block to dodge return fire. The undead dropped his bow, waves of golden life energy washing through his body. Alma sent back her assent, but continued to worry. The fact that her life magic didn't work here meant she was cut off from almost every casting she knew. The Dragonling could only use spell schools of the powers Richter had unlocked, and only the spells he knew in those schools. She could still use the few air spells he knew, but only weak lightning was offensive. It, and her psychic attacks, had a several-minute cooldown. Still, she followed her master's orders. Casting weak haste, Alma swooped down upon Yoshi's position. Circling to the side, she flew in from behind the undead still fighting on the ninth floor and fired a concentrated psi blast. The mental magic caught 6 of the high-level undead in its beam. 2 collapsed to the ground, twitching, and the other 4 were staggered. As she passed the strike team, she also cast Weak Errant Wind, increasing the group's ability to dodge projectiles by 30%. It wasn't enough. Even as Alma climbed back into the air, she shared the butcher's bill with Richter. Another 5 sprites were dead, and only 10 dungeon beasts remained with the strike team. The mauler had lost over half its health and was moving much slower. Splotches of purple-black magic shot through its body, surging and retreating as its regenerative powers tried to keep up. It was losing. Kenjiro was down. She wasn't sure if he was alive or dead, but a pool of blood was growing beneath him. Corporal Schroeder's head lay next to his still twitching body. An ox bled in multiple places, even as he swung an axe into the body of a 7-foot-tall zombie. The undead took the hit without flinching and swung its own mace into the guard's face. A wet, meaty thunk was the only response as Ox collapsed to the ground. Arrows and bolts of energy continued to fly from above, extracting a terrible toll on the Allied forces. Still, his people did not quit. Yoshi ran up behind the monster that had killed Ox and executed a complicated sword form that he had only mastered after reaching the 3rd rank of his blade style. The hulking zombie's gigantic arms fell off of its body almost at the same moment. Stupefied, it turned around to look at its attacker. With a disdainful grimace, Yoshi drove his blade through its mouth and into its brain, leaving it as dead as the brave man it had just killed. The remaining members of the strike squad did the rest. As the last undead fell, not a single member of the Allied forces remained unbloodied. The Mauler surged up to the 10th level. The boss was eager to hurt the skeletal archers and magi that were wounding it so savagely. Yoshi, Sion, and the few others that could still walk, stumble, or crawl downed their health potions if they hadn't already been consumed and climbed after it. "We need more men," Richter sent urgently to Hisako. There was only one more level of undead to conquer before the vampire guardians of the roof, but the undead of the 10th level were by far the strongest. Even the Mauler was staggering under their firepower as it climbed the stairs. He also had his own problems to deal with. The undead army had almost reached the foot of the mausoleum, which meant they were only minutes from overwhelming his forces. It was time to roll a hard 6. Richter ordered the mistworkers holding the boulders to come close. Zar had managed to get the first 2 blocks to meld with the stairs, and, thank the banished gods, they were stable. Each time a block was finished, the mistworkers that remained were sent up the steps to find any wounded and carry them back through the portal. Not many were left, and they had lost a great deal of health just being away from the mist village, but they would serve until death. Zar looked drained, as if the river of his magic was being forced through a straw, but he didn't quit either. The mage downed a blue mana potion and cast stone sealant again, locking the 3rd stone in place. A shimmering green paste appeared under the marbled quartz block, making a bond stronger than moonstone. The 3rd-tier spell would not last forever, but it would last long enough. While it did, the stone wall would not be moved. He began to start on the 4th, but an arrow finally made it past Calder's shield. It pierced the dwarf's shoulder, and he went down, disease flowing through his veins. More arrows struck the mistworkers holding the stone, and it fell down the side of the mausoleum, leaving a massive hole in their defenses. Richter cursed, because they could not risk more people passing through the portal just to bring another stone. But his frustration was nothing compared to Quasia's rage. The Noctomancer screamed and cast spells down the steps as fast as she could, only to find her magic counteracted by 3 lower-level undead casters that together were strong enough to thwart her. Richter dropped his bow and rushed over to Zar, pouring one of his precious health potions down the dwarf's throat. The Geomancer screamed as whatever filth was on the arrowhead continued to course through his veins and arteries, wreaking damage in its wake. Thinking a silent apology, the Chaos Seed forced the arrow even deeper into the dwarf's shoulder until the tip came out the other side. Then, he cut through the shaft and pulled the remnant out through Zar's back. Blessedly, the Geomancer had lost consciousness. Richter prayed he had done enough to save the dwarf's life, because he had no more time to waste. The Horde was coming. 20 more sprite archers had come through the portal that was now starting to flicker.
"I cannot risk sending any more, and my mana will not last much longer," Hisako sent with a mental shout.
Richter sent back his understanding and then reached into his bag of holding for a series of vials. Each one had a thick gray fluid at the bottom and a darker gray gas atop it. Opening the first, a stink even fouler than on the air of the mausoleum filled his nose and made his eyes water. He quickly poured the allure potion of the crypt mistress over the boulder and ordered the mist worker to throw it down the steps. The gleaming white rock, about the size of a beach ball, bounced down the stairs, picking up speed. It missed the first two undead it reached on the stairs, but struck the third center mass. The armored skeleton was knocked down and lost hundreds of points of health. Even better, the forward rush of the undead slowed, and many turned to follow the stone that was covered in the pheromones of the undead seducing demoness. Richter cheered when he saw his now impassioned enemies go after the rock and shouted, "Hope you fuckers like blue balls!" He ordered the mist worker that had been holding the boulder to pick up Zar's delirious body and throw him through the portal. Richter hoped the rough handling didn't hurt the dwarf more, but sending the mist worker through as well would risk further portal instability. The construct did as it was ordered, and Richter began to pour another allure potion on the next rock. 15 of the sprites began firing down at the undead still climbing the stairs, and the other 5 raced up to help Yoshi's strike team. The withering fire thinned the ranks of undead climbing the stairs, but they still advanced like a wave of death. Skeletons, zombies, and ghasts surged up the stairs, fell howls and roars coming from their throats. The battle raged on. With Zar safely on the other side of the portal, the sprites were able to focus fire and, using enchanted arrows, destroy the 3 skeletal magi that had been opposing Quasia's dark magic. Without their interference, she was finally able to cast her strongest spell again, Sucking Tar. The magic moved down the stairs, snaring undead and dragging them to the final death. With an exertion of will, she widened the spell to cover the width of the stairs. When Richter looked at the voluptuous mage, though, he could see the strain on her face and the shaking in her arms as she tried to control the spell. "How long?" he called to her. The desperation in her eyes was answer enough. She had bought them time, and her spell stopped any possible advancement of the undead army up the stairs. It would not last long. To make matters worse, Hisako had been right. While some of the undead mindlessly ran into Quasia's spell, others possessed more than enough intellect to find another way. He watched as the undead rushing up from the 6th floor split once they reached the 7th. A third of the army continued straight up the stairway into the sucking maw of Quasia's spell, but a third ran left, and the remainder went right, towards the other stairways. "You were right," he sent to Hisako. "They're going to flank us." "Hurry," was the only response, but this time her message came through weaker, clearly communicating her stress and exhaustion. Richter told the sprites to hold the beachhead and prepared to race up the stairs to help clear the 10th floor when he heard a deafening roar, multitudes louder than any other sound on the battlefield. He actually received the debuff partially deafened, and his head whipped back around to look down at the canyon between the plain and the mausoleum. All he could whisper was, "No." As a skeletal hand, 15 feet in length, reached over the lip of the crevasse and slammed onto the ground of the first floor. A moment later, a skeletal head, 3 times as long as he was tall, peered over the side of the edge, mouth open in screaming rage. Name: Devastator Skeleton. Disposition: Blind Rage. Devastator skeletons are colossal-sized undead, normally reaching 60 to 80 feet in height. Comprised of the individual bones of thousands of undead, they have a deep and abiding hatred of the living. These monsters are not only horrifying enemies, but can transport other undead and exude a powerful fear aura. Level 48. Health 8,128. Mana 183. Stamina 5,927. Strength, 383. Agility, 52. Dexterity, 48. Constitution, 812. Endurance, 592. Intelligence, 18. Wisdom, 15. Charisma, 4. Luck, 19. Special abilities, Fear Aura. The sight of this horrible creature makes enemies run in terror. Transport,
can carry other undead size, large or smaller, which are immune to attack until they detach from the Devastator.
Lord Richter!
One of the sprites called out, distress lacing his voice.
Richter completely understood. He had already resisted the fear effect thanks to his resistances and high stats, but he could feel the effect growing as more of the Devastator was revealed.
Another sprite called his name, and he responded, I know! It's a Devastator! His head whipped up towards Yoshi's strike party, fighting several levels above, and his eyes locked on the mauler. The Chaos Seed's heart sank as he realized what he had to do. The Lich had a Devastator. They needed Omega Supreme.
Chapter 100, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0 AOC.
Yoshi! He called out. I need the mauler back down here!
What?
The Sword Adept snapped.
Why? We need Chikushi!
That explicative was the exact moment that Yoshi saw the Devastator. When Richter's Gift of Tongues ability translated the half-sprite's last word, even he was taken aback by the disgusting meaning. He then realized how much restraint Yoshi had been showing by just calling him Gyoti all that time. The Sword Adept didn't argue any further.
Understood. We will destroy the rest of this floor, but we still need to deal with the vampires. They have not attacked yet. I do not know why.
Richter sent him an assent and called the mauler back to him. The inky blackness of Quasia's spell was fading, and twin lines of bright red blood streaked out of her nostrils as she tried to maintain control. Empty mana potion vials lay on the ground near her feet. He tried to make eye contact, but the Noctomancer was in a fugue. She had dedicated every ounce of her will to maintaining her spell. She lacked the energy to do anything else. Calder still stood nearby, shield held high, protecting the mage with both his armor and his body. The Chaos Seed looked at her in gratitude. She was buying them precious seconds, time that would not matter if his plan did not work. As his pet came crashing down the stairs, literally falling twice due to the horrible toll the undead had taken on it, Richter ordered a waiting mist worker to carry Quasia through the portal as soon as she fell. He also gave the last vials of flammable life oil to the sprites. Four ran up to the eighth level and split to cover approaches from either side. Richter had to hope that the wall of flames would at least thin the ranks of the undead rushing up the sides of the pyramid. He also prayed the undead weren't strategic enough to climb to the ninth level before flooding down the stairs behind them. Fighting on three fronts was going to be hard enough. Fighting on four would be damn near impossible. The Devastator roared again, and Richter looked back down the steps of the mausoleum. It had risen out of the canyon, letting him see all of its horrific glory. The damn thing had to be 70 feet tall. Its bones were gray-white, and neon-green light shone baleful in its eye sockets. Smaller undead were jumping onto it and being partially absorbed into its bones. Those whose heads remained free still looked up the mausoleum at Richter. Those whose arms remained free lifted weapons and shook them in his direction. Each level of the mausoleum was 30 to 40 feet above the one below, but if that giant made it to them, the bulwark they had created would serve no more impediment than a sidewalk curb. He only had one chance to stop the Colossus, and it would probably kill him. The mauler had arrived, and Richter pulled every health potion he had and made the monster kneel down again. To the incredulous stares of the sprites, he opened each vial and poured them into the monster's mouth. It had lost over 4,000 health and was losing more by the second. The health potions Richter gave it would normally restore over 2,000 HPs in less than 2 minutes, but for a huge creature like the mauler, they would be lucky to get half of that effect. It would have to be enough.
If I don't come back, he told the sprites, get through the portal and close it. That, he shouted, pointing at the Devastator, cannot come through to my village. Swear it!
The lead sprite drew himself to full attention and saluted the allied commander.
By your command, Lord Mist!
Richter nodded and jumped onto the mauler's back. A greasy strand of hair served as a handhold, like a tenacious root on a cliff face. He cast weak haste on himself and then ordered the mauler to grab the last few boulders coated in the Crypt Mistress potion. What came next was perhaps the dumbest thing he'd done since coming to the land. he ordered the Mauler to run towards the thousands of undead climbing the pyramid. Alma shrieked in his mind until he told her his plan. Then she shrieked even louder. Richter shut her out. They had reached the sixth level. The Mauler had easily leaped the fading remnants of Quasia's spell and had thrown one of the boulders ahead of it. The white rock had knocked down several undead, and 2 dozen more immediately piled on top of it, desperate to reach the source of the crypt mistress's